ABC Radio Australia.
Now, a historic exploration is taking place in the waters around Tuvalu. The National Geographic's Pristine Seas project is sailing through the Pacific on a months-long expedition with a team of scientists, conservationists and documentary makers. And in Tuvalu, the research they'll be conducting will be groundbreaking, as few have ever been able to traverse the deep seas in the region. Our reporter Jordan Fennell spoke to the Pristine Seas expedition lead, Kieran Fraser.
So it's usually an early start, so I'm usually up by 6 o'clock. Generally speaking, depending on what we're doing, we'll try and get the boats away. So our small boats, which we launch from Argo, our research vessel, usually get away by roughly 7 o'clock in the morning. Usually, in most cases, the previous evening, we put our deep water drop cams in the water, and these are cameras, baited cameras, that we drop into water depths of as deep as 6,000 metres, but typically on this expedition, we'll put three in, one each at 500, 1,000 and 2,000 metres. One of our first jobs of the day is always to recover those, to download the data, recharge them and get them ready to go in that evening. We'll also be putting out pelagic bruvs, and bruvs are baited remote underwater video systems. And these ones basically float on the surface. They've got bait and a series of cameras, and it allows us to monitor pelagic species, so species that live in the upper water column. Things like sharks, tuna, wahoo and things like that.
Tell me a little bit about why Tuvalu's location and the waters around Tuvalu are significant and what it means for studying marine life in that area.
So there's been not a lot of work done in Tuvalu, not a lot of scientific research carried out in Tuvalu. There's been a fair amount of work carried out, a decent amount of work carried out on the shallower reef systems, corals, shallow reef fish and things like that. There's been very little work carried out offshore and really nothing done in the deep sea. So this is like real exploration. So the work that we're doing with the submersible and the drop cameras in particular has never been done before. So that nobody's got any idea what lives here. Tuvalu is quite interesting in that it's a series of nine islands that sort of lie roughly north-south and across quite a large latitudinal gradient, maybe 600 miles, something like that. So it gives us the ability to look at what different species are here across quite a big range in latitude. Nyalakita in the south in particular is a very small island. It's only about half a mile long, sat on top of quite a big seamount. And that seamount is connected to really some like quite shallow areas of the sea stretching across the lower, that area of the Pacific, linking into another area which we were working in last month, which was Rotuma, which is an island within Fiji. So a lot of these seamount areas are connected as shallower areas of the seabed within areas which are much, much deeper, many thousands of metres. So it's also very interesting to look at the interconnectivity of some of these areas across the Pacific, which is really, really important.
Is there anything in particular, you said before that this is actual exploration, that there's not a lot of knowledge about what's happening in the deep seas around Tuvalu. Is there anything in, are there hypotheses? Is there anything in particular that you're hoping to find and see, or is it really just sort of like a blank slate and you're taking what you can?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, it's a blank slate. I mean, we would hope the population of Tuvalu is relatively small. I think it's just less than 10,000. So you would hope that the impacts on the nine islands from the population is relatively low, especially the more smaller remote islands. So we would hope to see fairly healthy reefs, both corals and fishes. However, Tuvalu's obviously in an area of the world where we are at the moment, I think it's about 5 degrees south of the equator. So it's definitely exposed to very, very warm temperatures. So it's likely that we're going to see some impact of global warming and coral bleaching. So what we would like to see is the healthiest oceans that we can see. And provide that data for the Tuvalu government to work towards protecting their oceans and their national ocean policy. But so we don't really know what we're going to see. I mean, we were very lucky yesterday. The guys out doing the pelagic bruvs, they got a brief glimpse of a whale, which is quite unusual. We generally don't tend to see a huge number on expeditions. And a species, an oceanic white-tipped shark, which again is a very, very threatened species internationally. They're caught regularly in the longline fisheries and things like that, and they're seriously threatened. So we don't really know. Every time we put a piece of kit in the water, especially in the very deep sea, with a submersible or with a drop cameras, we really don't know what we're going to see when we bring those cameras up and whether it's going to be very similar to Rotuma, where we've just been in Fiji, or very different. And there's always the possibility we could easily see a species which is new to science.
Wow, that's amazing. What you've already seen as well, like you say, that must be pretty exciting. I'm just wondering as well about the importance of data. I know that there's often not a lot of resources put towards collection of just scientific data in general. How important, I guess from a Pacific sense, but then maybe just from a global ocean science sense, how important is this sort of, I guess it's historic in being able to collect this kind of data. What will that mean to that?
Yeah, I mean, it is really historic. I mean, there's very, very few ships with a submersible and the tools that we've got, the drop cams, which we're using, were designed by National Geographic in-house. They're a unique tool. There's nothing like it in the world. You know, a relatively smaller piece of kit that you can drop into the deep sea down to depths of 6,000 meters and it records, you know, the species that approach the camera is completely unique. One of the things that we can offer to a country when we come in and work with the country and with non-government organisations who operate in that country is especially our ability to work in the deep seas. And there's not really anybody else like us to operate with a small vessel and all of these tools on board. So what we're doing is filling in gaps in the data, really, especially in the deep sea on this leg. And also, you know, so alongside both the scientific and the media side of what we do, so we'll be producing a documentary probably of between 30 and 40 minutes for Tuvalu, which will, you know, showcase their life, their relationship with the oceans and their storytelling. We also have a big educational component. And before we left Funafuti, the capital island of Tuvalu, we had what we call a ship day, where we invited probably about 100 children and their teachers on board to show them what we do when we go to sea, what we're doing in their country, and discuss the sort of data we've collected up in other areas, and also enthuse them about, for example, careers in marine science, marine biology.
Now, on board your ship, you've got documentary makers, conservationists, scientists, and I believe also a fisheries observer from Tuvalu. Tell me about the role that they play.
Yeah, so we've got an observer, a fishery officer from the fisheries department, who one of the sort of main government departments that we're working with. So Mena is working with us at the moment. He's actually on land doing some filming with our media team as I speak. He's absolutely fantastic, and it's really, really interesting for him. There's a really nice story because his family originally come from Nanamea, where I can look out my cabin window and see at the moment, and he hasn't been back for 13 years. So we went ashore yesterday to meet with the Kapuli, the local council, to get their permission to operate around their island and their blessing for the expedition. And Mena went ashore and got the opportunity to meet up with some of his family. And so it was a really great story, really, really nice.
And that's Pristine Seas Expedition lead, Kieran Fraser, speaking there to ABC's Jordan Fennell.